This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings, and none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Look, it's a very, very special show here on Different Strokes tonight. Jade and I want to know who or what is, the best gay character on TV ever.
Yeah.
We've got a short list of our own, but we want to know.
Who are yours?
Yeah, who are yours? Who's your favourite gay TV character?
Yeah.
Because there was once a time, you see, when we were growing up, gay characters on TV, a bit hush-hush, not always obvious, a bit in the background, and sometimes a bit stereotypical.
Yes.
So, but over the years, in the last 10 years or so, something has changed.
Now it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. At times, you might think it's a bit tokenistic, but these are great characters. There are plenty of great characters out there that are just, not only gay, but also just fun to watch.
And they're on your TV every week.
It's amazing. So we want to know.
Yeah.
You know, what you reckon is the best gay character on TV?
So you can let us know by when you're signing up as a member, of course. If you call,
you're already on the phone.
You're on the phone. Make sure you just let the guys in the phone room know and they'll let us know. Otherwise, you can text us 0427-JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
Now, Jade, I'm very, very excited because tonight we are reviewing and previewing the brand new album by Robin.
I'm so excited. I'm like,
I know. I've even put on my Oprah voice. Like, I'm giving away like 15 cars.
Yes. That was a bit Oprah.
It is a bit Oprah, isn't it?
I'm expecting you to hand hug me a bit later on.
No, we've got the brand new album by Robin. It's called Body Talk Part 1. You get to hear an album in a blend. So I've previewed a couple of tracks. I've blended them down so you can have a listen to the album. It officially hit stores in Australia on Friday, but it's already been released all over the world as of yesterday. So we'll be listening to bits from Robin's new album later in the show. But Jade, before we do that, you're going to have to explain to me what this Brat Pack is.
Oh, the Brat Pack?
What is this Brat Pack thing?
It's an 80s phenomenon.
Okay, so we're taking a flashback?
It's totally a flashback. We're flashing back to... See, I'm not old enough to know... I'm like at least 10 to 15 years younger than the Brat Pack is. But,
okay.
But
you know about it.
I know about it, but it's like a coming of age thing.
Different Strokes Flashback. Bringing pop culture back from the yesteryears.
What on earth is this Brat Pack you're talking about?
Dave, I'm so used to you saying, I've got no idea what you're talking about, Jade, whenever I try and talk about anything from the 80s
person.
Or 90s.
I'm not a simple person, but I'm just not in tune with anything retro.
Today you sent a reference via email to me about Danny Minogue's hit during the 80s or 90s.
Okay, it was the 90s.
Whatever it was. But that you sent me a reference like that. But when it comes to TV or anything like that, you never know.
Okay, look, I may have selective retro hearing, okay? Yeah. I only pick some things up from the 80s or 90s that I want to. But I don't know what this Brat Pack thing is. I thought it was like a fanny pack. But it's not, is it? It's a group.
It's a group of young actors and actresses, and they're probably they're most famous for sort of appearing together in those sort of coming of age teenage angst films during the 1980s. John Hughes films were probably the predominant ones of those, but there were other directors around that time and other films. Some of the primary films that you would have heard of these group of actors from are like The Breakfast Club, Joel Schumacher, who went on to do like Batman Forever, I think it was, or one of the Batman
great
movies.
Great movie.
Yeah. his film, St. Elmo's Fire. The Outsiders. Do you remember The Outsiders?
You don't have to try to make a crossover here, Jade. You know there's tumbleweeds and cricket sounds in my head right now.
It was a book. It was on like the list, the reading list. Come on.
I don't need to be berated by you just because I haven't watched these 80s movies.
16 Candles.
No.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was made to watch that in high school. Okay.
Thank God.
Oh, my God.
I was made to watch it in high school.
Yes.
Like it's not an important moment in your life.
Should it be?
Yes, it should. Anyway, so all of these actors were kind of in these. It was a bit like, it was really kind of, I guess, sarcastic, like apathetic type, you know, these comedy style things where.
And the Brat Pack is the group of actors.
And the group around of the actors around yeah. it. And so the common actors that are mentioned are people like Rob Lowe.
I know who Rob Lowe is.
Yes, because he's in one of the three shows that you watch on television.
I watch more than a few TV shows, Jade, and you know, I know he's on Brothers and Sisters.
Yes.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr., who's now gone on to quite a famous movie career, one of the few.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Judd Nelson.
No idea who that is.
Last seen on the set of Suddenly Susan, Dave, during the 90s.
You're chuckling, so that means it's a bad show, right?
It's a terrible show.
Okay.
Emilio Estevez.
No idea. Was he married to Gloria Estefan?
No.
Okay.
He was married to Paula Abdul at one point.
Highlight of his career.
He was in Mighty Ducks.
Great.
Anthony Michael Hall, who always played the geek.
No idea.
No?
I'm really sorry, no.
Oh, God.
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald was like probably, you know, the it girl.
Is Molly Ringwald still working in this century?
Apparently she is. She's apparently on The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Oh.
I was expecting like all kinds of, we haven't seen her since, you know, 1998 or something. I knew that she did at some like random sitcom at some point that lasted, you know, a couple of episodes. But you know who also gets a mention in here occasionally?
Who?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Because he was in The Outsiders.
The only group I can put Tom Cruise in right now is the ones that worship Xenu or the Scientology god. I don't see Tom Cruise as anything other than Scientologist now. Not even actor.
How about Demi Moore? Mrs. Kutcher? No?
Yeah, Demi Moore. Was she part of that group?
Yes. How about Mr. Sarah Jessica Parker? Matthew Broderick? He was in Ferris Bueller? Yes,
Okay, yeah, I know. Okay, so these are the actors that
these
you would consider
are the actors.
To be part of the Brat Pack.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of them are still working, but a lot of them kind of faded to like small TV drama roles.
Yes, or like, you know, a guest appearance where they kind of, you know, chuck them in as like, oh, here's a person who was once quite famous during your adolescence and we're going to say, hey, like, here's my guest appearance or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm surprised I recognize a few of them because when you mention 80s actors and actresses in coming-of-age movies, I just thought, I don't know anyone from that era. That is a whole kind of dinosaur.
But this is the thing, Dave, right? These films are so good that you're supposed to watch them even if it's not that. You always make me feel so old. But I was so young during that I didn't get it the first time around. I got it the second time around.
This is the part of the show everyone thinks Jade's trying to justify her age again, which is unnecessary because we know you're young at heart and you're forever young. Don't make me sing the song.
I am not old.
Jade has issues, but it's okay.
You act like we're generations apart.
We're really not, are we?
No, we're not. You're the same age as my little sister. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
While Jade goes and cools off in a corner.
Yes. I'm not supposed to get emotional, Dave, and you're making me emotional.
Hi, this is Robin. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member.
She's Joy.
I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh.
Choose great radio. Choose Joy.
1-300-JOY 949.
You say that it's about pop artists.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to strummy la la music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. So many people want to tell us who their favourite gay characters are, Dave.
Can we get it? Can we get a glimpse of who's making people's lists here?
Okay, so we've had James from... he doesn't say where he's from, has said that Mr. Humphreys from Are You Being Served is the best gay TV character.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's vintage goodness for you right there, Jade. You see, I do catch up with old TV shows.
Steve the Truckee says, hi, Jade and Dave. I love the 80s and I understand your enthusiasm. My favourite gay character is Kelly Torres from Grey's Anatomy. She's an awesome strength of character. She has awesome strength of character.
That is awesome. Look, Jade, Robin fans have been waiting 5 years to get a full new album from her. It's taken 5 years, but it doesn't feel like 5 years because her last album, which is the self-titled one called Robin.
Now, place Robin for me. Like, is Robin like your Tegan and Sarah? Is she like your Ben Lee? Is she your...
I don't know because you're really cultish about Ben Lee and Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
I love Robin. I really like her music, but I'm not cultish like that about her. Okay. Just have lots of admiration for her. Especially since she started her own label and did the whole independent pop star thing. Love it. So the last album was called Robin, and although it came out in 2005, Jade, the rest of the world kind of slowly realized it over between 2005 to 2008. So it was like a 3-year stretch for the album. It kept getting re-released, new songs coming on the playlist, singles being released again in different regions with different artworks, different videos and whatnot. So it felt like an ongoing saga. And as a result, a lot of people didn't really notice that she wasn't putting out new music, except for her fans back in Sweden.
Okay.
Who got the album first, of course.
Yep.
So 2010 kicks in. What does she do? She's not promising one album, Jade. She's not promising two albums this year. She's promising three albums.
What?
I know. Sister's been working hard.
Crazy.
Got her hard drive all backed up full of tunes. She's just ready to let it go.
Is it going to like get progressively worse or progressively better? Maybe?
Oh, Jade, I don't want to speculate. I'm a big Robin fan. I like to think it's all good.
It's going to be all good.
It's going to be all good. So this is the reason why she's decided to do this is because she says she wants to change the way she was putting out music. She wasn't comfortable with the whole idea of, you know, recording an album, then, you know, putting it out and letting that sit there for a while. She wanted to just keep putting out music on a regular basis and just have that constant steady stream of new songs. So what she's done is I think it's going to be a small series. So basically the first album, Body Talk Part 1, has just come out all over the world yesterday. We're getting it on Friday here in Australia. This album is only 8 tracks, Jade. This is just the way I like my albums, Jade. I don't like them being like 24 track long with like extra bonus edition sets and all that.
No.
Trim the fat, keep the goodies in there, show us what it's
like,
really
come
about.
Come on, like isn't 12 standard?
No, I think 10 maybe is standard. 12 is kind of okay. I know what you're trying to do there. Back in the old days, I know with R&B albums, they sometimes go for like 15 to 18 tracks, but they have interludes and everything in between, so that don't really count. But I like the idea of having a small bite size of an album. 8 tracks really works for me. So the new album, Body Talk 1, has only got 8 tracks on it. This is how she's going to do it, okay? This is what she said in interviews. Part one's going to be brand new material. Part two, which will come out later this year, will also be brand new material. Part three, though, will be the best of part one and two, plus some new material in there.
So, I'm not impressed anymore. Yeah, now you've broken it down.
Where did she lose you? Is it the idea that you have to wait till part three to find out what's the best part?
Well, I'm going to add the extras on here and, like, you know, I'm going to replay some. Whatever.
Oh, God, Jade. I'm only guessing that part three will probably come out around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So it's a lucrative time of the year. If you didn't buy part one and two, here's the best parts.
And we'll chuck them together in a box set. There you go.
Yeah. Don't get cynical. I'm sure it's going to sound amazing.
Yeah.
So in any case, look, it's really curious. The title is one thing that I gravitated towards because I thought, okay, Body Talk, is this going to be a sexy album? Is this going to pick up from where her last album was? What's going on? Now, she said that the concept and theme for Body Talk is technology versus human.
Yep.
Now, this part, I think, will really appeal to you in that sense.
Okay, yes. Well, because, you know, technology versus human is all I care about. Anything nerdy, I'm in.
Anything nerdy, you're in. So, I mean, I figure tracks like Fembot and Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Do, these are great songs that are off that nature with those kind of lyrical themes. She's also said that the songs on the album are inspired by sort of like a juvenile point of view,
mm-hmm.
where you always feel like you're the outsider looking in. And I really like that about her songs. I really like that she writes from that perspective because mm-hmm. Obviously a lot of people can relate to that. And while she says that it's a juvenile point of view, I feel that you can be of any age and always feel like an outsider looking in.
Yep.
So I think it's one of those things that's ageless. And songs like Dancing on My Own, which is the first single, and Cry When You Get Older, they all channel that kind of vibe. So I am a fan of it.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. It is Choose Joy Radiothon. Please sign up and become a member if you call 1-300-JOY-949. Dave?
My goodness.
Yeah.
The best gay characters on TV. Anyone?
Ugh. It's been, I can't believe who want, it, so many people want to have their opinions because everyone's got their opinion, right?
Everyone has a gay character on and TV I that do, they want to talk about.
I do kind of have to give a bit of a shout out to our podcast extraordinaire girl, Nat, who it was actually her, a discussion I had with her that started the idea for this segment because she went on a rant about there was not enough good lesbians on TV.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see if we... And probably, like, demonstrated by what we've had come in tonight, most of them, if not all of them, have been men.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the nominations for best gay characters, as per people SMSing
the only
in,
one that I can think of that wasn't was Callie from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, what about Nurse Jackie, the one that Matt mentioned?
No, they were two guys.
Oh, were they guys?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So we had Billy has texted in and he's got a stack of favourites. He says Maxie from Skins, Generation 1 of Skins. Very good choice, Billy. Todd and Sean from Coronation Street. I've never watched that show. Tony and Simon from EastEnders and Simon from Beautiful People were his favourites.
Someone's watching a lot of UK TV.
A lot of UK TV.
Love it.
Mitch from Cranbourne says that Mark from Ugly Betty was his favourite gay character. He said he liked his bitchiness.
Ah, oh, everyone loves a bitchy queen, don't they?
And Nick... on the front desk says Cam from Modern Family is his favourite.
Yes, I like Cam from Modern Family too, and I like Mitchell. Do you know why? I like them as a couple because they're showing America and they're showing the world that gay couples come in every shape, size and colour.
Yeah.
I like seeing red-headed gays out there.
Yeah.
He's a hot ranger gay. I love it. He's a hot redhead gay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm a Mitchell fan.
Okay, good. Do you want to start with what you've got on your list, Dave?
It's not a very big list because, as you guys have heard, Jade never fails to let this up, of course. You know, she knows that I don't watch much TV, so she's like, oh, you know, Dave, you probably have, like, 3 TV shows that you've ever watched.
And are there any gay people on them? No.
Yeah, there are. Okay, so I'm getting into The Good Wife right now,
mm-hmm.
so I'm probably like 3 months behind everyone, but who cares?
That's okay. I haven't even watched any of it.
I'm getting into The Good Wife right now, and there's a character on there called Kalinda Sharma.
Mm-hmm.
She's the in-house investigator for the firm, and she's a bisexual character. Oh, you know, people say she's a lesbian, she's bi. She's a bit mysterious. She's a bit ambiguous like that.
Okay.
I love her character.
Yeah.
So mysterious, so strong. So I love her. I think she's beautiful. So
yeah.
She's one of my other favourite gays on TV, gay characters on TV, I should say.
Okay, well, I've got a list.
Oh, my God.
A couple of them are my sort of early hopes for gays on TV. Because, Dave, I came from, when I was a teenager, there was no gay people on TV. Like, you know, it wasn't, like, kind of a thing. I was 18. 18 or something like that when Ellen came out on TV. So that's how long, like, you know, it's amazing kind of how far we've come in that short,
period,
of time.
Yeah.
But when after that kind of happened, there were a couple of really quite famous younger people who came out. Because I guess, like, what I kind of looked at for characters that I admire as gay TV characters are people who are younger, mm-hmm. who are sort of kind of going through the process of coming out. I think, you know, you want someone who's a good role model, who doesn't, like, kind of pull into stereotypes. And I think that's why Cam and Mitchell in that relationship on Modern Family are quite good.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be relatable, non-stereotypical.
Yeah.
I think it's refreshing for, you know, the gay community to see that, you know,
it's all kinds
we're not
of,
being stereotyped out there.
But two of the early examples that I liked is Jack from Dawson's Creek, Jack McPhee from Dawson's Creek. He was, Dawson's Creek was kind of this sappy, fluffy teen kind of, like, everyone's overly emotional.
The OC of the,
yeah,
it was the OC style of my
show.
Primary school.
But Jack, when he came out, he wasn't a cliched gay guy. He was just like, you know, okay, well, I'm, you know, he did initially date girls, but then came out as gay, and he had, like, the perfect fag hag in Michelle Williams, not our Michelle Williams, the other one.
not to be confused with the one from Destiny's Child.
Yeah. Her character called Jen, and it was just such a, you know, he was not kind of, when you see kind of a lot of, this is kind of my criticism of a lot of the gay characters that you see on TV, is particularly the guys, is they tend to be, like, really flamboyant and over the top. And
can I just say, though, having said that, there's nothing wrong with seeing queenie characters on TV.
There isn't anything wrong with that, but it was good to have
a balance.
It's absolutely good to have these other people on there that say, because, like, I have gay friends who are of all kinds. I don't have just these, like, they're not just these. And I guess it kind of just feels a bit like, oh, we're going to put the queenie guy in because they're just bit more entertaining and, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. And a couple of other people that I really liked as characters, Willow and Tara from Buffy.
Oh, okay.
No?
I don't know. I never watched Buffy.
Here are the facts about this, right? Willow and Tara were the longest running lesbian relationship in TV history.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Willow continued to break new ground when in season 7 she was seen having sex with her new girlfriend. It was the first lesbian sex scene on Next Network television. Dave?
Okay, it's groundbreaking.
It's groundbreaking. It's in a really popular show. It did have, there was a lot of debate that went on around the way that Joss Whedon, who created Buffy, handled those characters, because they had this sort of tragic ending and there was all this evil Willow stuff going on and all of that kind of stuff. But before we go anywhere, my ultimate gay characters,
mm-hmm.
and they're girls.
Oh, okay. Come on. Who is it?
This is so, it's a very, very recent thing, but my favourite gay character is Emily Fitch from Skins, and she's very recent, second generation, and her girlfriend, who is Naomi from Skins as well. This is, like, such a raw, real depiction of a relationship. They're in high school or whatever they're in. Dave, if you watched this show, you would fall in love with this relationship. Like, it is just, Emily is just,
it's
like,
real. It feels real.
It feels real. She's very, Emily Wright is, as a character, I've not seen a lesbian on TV that has that kind of, you know, she's not trying to be, like, anything. There's not, like, she's just her. It's okay. Not like this kind of,
she's,
it's
a
not,
good character.
It's not glamorous. It's not, like, you know, because the L word's all, like, you know, glamour and all this kind of, you know. But she's not, like, trying to be, you know, I'm not going to get into a debate about, oh, butchy girls or anything like that. No, it's not about that. She's just very honest about her feelings, and she's very upfront, and she knows exactly what she wants, and she's not afraid to go out and get it.
It's
awesome television.
Great characters. In the meantime, Kim has SMS'd us with a couple more, with her favourite gay characters on TV. Yep. Jane Lynch in Glee.
I don't think her character is gay in Glee, is she?
Really? I don't watch Glee. You know, I don't watch TV.
I know she's gay. I know
she's gay in real life.
But I don't think her, I mean.
Okay, but what about Endora from Bewitched?
I don't know that reference, do you?
No, Jane Hathaway, Beverly Hillbillies.
Sorry.
You see, it shows that, I mean, they don't have to be overtly gay, or they don't have to be explicitly gay characters, but if there's if fans or if people watching can read something into it or relate to their character.
Consuelo says, surely Karen from Will and Grace has to be the best in gay TV gay character on TV.
I think Karen from Will and Grace is just loved by the gays and everyone. So Karen's just a popular choice. But Jack from Will and Grace, you know, when we were talking about Queenie characters on TV, he's good fun. Good fun. Memorable.
Yeah, very memorable. Had like, and you know, you can't sort of deny how good it is to have characters like him, or like Kurt from Glee is probably another good example of, I guess, like a Queenie style character. How good it is to have those characters on TV, you know, going into millions and millions of homes and just, you know.
But you know what? Labels aside and all that, a good character is a good character.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is gay characters on TV that we can relate to and we love watching and we think brings a good variety out there to people watching. So
yeah, exactly.
Everyone in TV
Speaking
land.
Of like really good gay characters. It is our radiothon at the moment. So if you want to choose Joy and support a gay and lesbian broadcaster, please do so. If you call on 1-300-JOY-949 and sign up as a member now.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.